From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. On the floor of the House tonight, a rare window into how lawmakers handle misdeeds involving one of their own. Lawmakers voting to censure New York Representative Charles Rangel for financial improprieties. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced the censure.
The House has resolved that Representative Charles Rangel of New York be censured. That Representative Charles B. Rangel forthwith present himself in the well of the House for the pronouncement of censure.
Shortly after proceedings got underway today, the 40-year veteran congressman appealed to his colleagues not to impose the most severe penalty short of expulsion, though Rangel admitted to making serious mistakes.
There's absolutely no excuse for my omissions, for my responsibility to obey those rules. I take full credit and for the responsibility of that. I brought it on myself.
Vote in the House to impose the less severe penalty of reprimand failed to get the needed votes to pass. House Ethics Committee had found Rangel guilty of 11 of 13 charges and already had recommended censure. Democratic bill to make middle-class tax cuts permanent while allowing them to expire for wealthy Americans has survived a House vote today. But as we hear from NPR's Andrea Seabrook, the measure has virtually no chance in the Senate, where Democrats would need Republican backing.
The House of Representatives passed a bill by a vote of 234 to 188. The bill would extend the lower tax rates, the Bush-era tax cuts, on middle-income earners and lower. It would allow the tax rates to rise on upper-income earners. But this bill is largely symbolic. The bill is not expected to go anywhere from here. There are negotiators from the White House, the Senate, and the House working on a deal that is emerging now and appears to extend all of the tax rates on all income, even the upper income, but not permanently.
NPR's Andrea Seabrook. Panel investigating BP's oil spill says the Deepwater Horizon accident is a warning for an entire industry. It says doesn't take safety seriously enough. We get details from NPR's Jeff Brady.
The commission staff says all three companies involved in the Macondo well blowout, BP, Halliburton, and Transocean, have a history of safety problems. But the problems are not limited just to those companies. Commission co-chair and ConocoPhillips board member William Riley says the industry needs to develop a new safety culture and that managers have no excuse for failing to do so.
We are not dealing here with a sick or failing or unsuccessful industry, but with a complacent one.
The commission is meeting today and tomorrow to debate what its final recommendations will be. A report is due next month. Jeff Brady, NPR News, Washington.
Stocks rose for a second straight day. All three of the major market indexes up sharply on encouraging news on retail sales and word Europe is moving to deal with its debt crisis. The Dow is up 106 points. The Nasdaq rose 29 points today. This is NPR. Despite support from top military leaders for a repeal of the rule known as Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which prohibits gays from serving openly in the military, a top Senate Republican is challenging a military study on the matter. Arizona Senator John McCain today called the study flawed and said allowing gays to serve openly in time of war would be dangerous. McCain referring to a recent study that showed a majority of military personnel polled did not believe a repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell would cause problems. As WikiLeaks revelations continue, Pakistan is assessing the damage. NPR's Julie McCarthy reports from Islamabad. Disclosures include President al-Zardari seeking a promise from the United Arab Emirates to grant his family refuge in the event he's killed in office.
President Zardari, who came to power after his wife Benazir Bhutto was killed in a suicide bombing, has made extensive arrangements in case of his own assassination. According to a classified memo dated February last year, Zardari told U.S. Ambassador Ann Patterson that if he were killed, he had instructed his son to name Zardari's sister, Fayyal Tapur, as president. Patterson writes that the embassy had been very impressed with her. Zardari is also portrayed as fearing a coup by Pakistan's powerful army. In one memo, Vice President Joe Biden conveys to former British Prime Minister Gordon Brown that Zardari thought the military could kill him, a move Brown thought unlikely. Julie McCarthy, NPR News, Islamabad.
Number of first-time claims for unemployment benefits rose slightly last week. The more closely watched four-week moving average, which gives a better picture of the overall jobs market, however, fell to its lowest level since 2008. That's giving some reason to believe the worst for the labor market may be over. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News, in Washington.